This is the Sheep Guarding Llama podcast for Monday, November 7th, 2005. This is episode 19, and I'm your host, Scott Allen Miller. Well, this is the first episode recorded back in New York. We are finally back. Dominic and I have finally returned from Florida after 7 days in the Sunshine State, and we are very, very happy to be home here in New York, where it is cool and brisk, and our lives can get back to normal. Most importantly, we are very excited to be back home with our little boy, Oreo, who has been very nervous about us being gone and is extremely happy to see us again, and Mr. Humphreys, who is not nearly as excited but is happy that someone is here, as he has been lonely for the past week. My father has been checking in on him, but it's not the same, obviously, as having someone to play with every day. This morning, we had quite the adventure. We were still in Florida, obviously, at the hotel. And we went down to catch our... And they have this listed as a limo. It sounds like we're taking this stretch limousine to and from the hotel, and we're not. It's just... it's a town car, which, first of all, if you've ever taken a town cars are just more expensive versions of Crown Victorias. They're not an impressive car. In fact, they're an awful car. But they do have a lot of space to carry a lot of luggage. We were supposed to get picked up by a town car. We've already paid for this town car. We paid for it a week ago, and it was supposed to be waiting for us, and we got down at 6 o'clock, and our flight left at 8, and it wasn't there. We called the limo company 3 or 4 times. They didn't answer, and finally we weren't comfortable with only having 2 hours from pickup to drop to flight time anyway. And so when they didn't show up and didn't answer the phone, and we had no other means of contacting them whatsoever, we just got a checker cab who was there in 2 minutes. So we assumed that the limo would have been there 10 to 15 minutes before our pickup. So we figured they should have been there at 5:45. We called the checker cab at 6:05. So at that point, we assumed that the limo was running 20 minutes late. And then the checker cab picked us up, and we were gone. No sight of the limo whatsoever. So if checker cab was able to take a call 20 minutes after the limo should have been there and still beat them to pick us up, I don't feel bad. The hotel informed us that Florida is the transportation scam state. They said that most transportation is it's a fraud. If you sit out and act like you're waiting for a taxi, people who are not taxi drivers, these are just people driving around will try to pick you up and get cash from you. This happens all the time. There's just an unbelievable amount of scams. Because of the number of tourists in Florida and because there is no business in Florida, there's nothing protecting people from stuff like this. So it's really bad. And we knew this was the case. We knew it was dangerous. We got the name of this limo company from what we thought was a reputable source. And obviously, and we'd have problems during the week. We'd seen this happening. We would sit out waiting for our hotel shuttle, and people would just show up trying to pick us up. They'd be, did you call for a taxi? And obviously no one had called for a taxi. There was nobody waiting for a taxi. And they would just drive off then. And so it was immediately obvious to anyone sitting there that, you know, they were not a taxi. They were just, I don't know. I'm hoping that they were just people trying to scam taxi companies for the fares, but maybe they're abducting people because, you know, they're getting you to voluntarily get into an unmarked car. You know, these are not licensed drivers. They may not, you know, who knows who they are. They could be anybody. So it's a very dangerous place. You have to be really careful. But anyway, we took the checker cab, and they got us right to the airport, no problem. They also scammed us, but we knew it was happening, and we didn't really care at that point. We had to get to the airport and get it over with. They gave us a flat rate that was much, much higher than the actual cost of driving to the airport, and they said that they took credit cards, but as soon as we got into the car, said they only took cash. And then I noticed that the driver turned off his meter so that he was just going to pocket the cash, and I actually saw him call in on his little computer and tell them that he was off duty. So I know he was pocketing it, but I also didn't tip him because I knew he was pocketing all of it. So it actually worked out that it only cost us a few extra dollars, but by doing a flat rate, I knew that he would rush to the airport as quickly as he could because he was losing extra fare every second he wasn't picking someone else up. So we were getting scammed, but he was scamming his employer much more than he was scamming us. We know we were scammed only very minimally. Transportation in Florida is not a pleasant experience. So be forewarned if you ever have to go down there. Mears is a very, very reputable, large volume company. And they don't do the limo style service, but you know what? I don't think I would recommend it again. I think going with someone like Mears, who has a reputation to lose, is worth it. Now, the limo company did contact us after this point, and at some point, minutes before we got to the airport, is when they called us and informed us that their limo driver had gotten lost and didn't know where the hotel was because it was a different driver than we had had a week ago. However, this driver hadn't gotten directions before looking for the hotel, didn't know where they were supposed to go, didn't call us when they didn't show up, they didn't answer the phone when they didn't, you know, it was... they did not do what they needed to do given the situation they were in. They needed to tell us that they were coming because we were afraid that we were going to not hear back from them until after our plane left because it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And when you get a busy signal or a busy message at any place at 6 o'clock in the morning, you assume they're not answering phones until 8 o'clock. And when the people who are supposed to pick you up are that late, you assume they're not coming or they're completely lost or they forgot or whatever. Whether they were being malicious or just accidental, you assume that there's a problem that you must work around at that point. And that's what we did. The company said that they were not going to charge us at all for any of the services that we got, which will actually, in total, after all the tips that we don't have to give because of it, save us about $70. So as long as they really don't charge us, that will actually have ended up working out well for us because we did get to the airport. It was a panic. It was inconvenient, but... $70 is a lot of money, especially because we've been on a budget. Our Disney World trip has actually turned out to be incredibly inexpensive. Between the internet access, they weren't able to charge us for that because they never kept it on. And we didn't get charged full rate for the hotel room because we had so many problems. So we got one free night, which was about 14% off our total price. So our 7-day stay in Florida was, after tax, under $400, which we are very thankful for. And our cab / limo fee that we were expecting to be a total of about $110 turned out to be a $41. So that was a big savings there. And so there's a number of things. So altogether, the hotel was $130 less than we thought. So about $200 less than we were planning on. And we had budgeted about $150 a day for food, which in Disney World is considered a pretty light budget for food. But then found ourselves only on one day topping $100. And this is for two people, not just for each of us. But for the two of us together. And the day that we topped $100 was like $102. It was just over. And we had one day as low as like $80. And we felt that we ate incredibly well while we were there. So we were really, really happy. And there's kind of an art to eating well in Disney World without spending too much money. But it can be done. Don't let people tell you that Disney World has to be really expensive. The food, as long as you are not looking for, you know, 5-star full service for every meal, I think most people can get away somewhere around $50 to $60 per person and eat better than you may eat anywhere else in the world. And that may not be true for people who live in Ithaca, but Ithaca is definitely more expensive than that. You can't do it for the same price. New York City, you definitely can't do it for the same price. There are some places that have as good of food, but very, very few. Disney World is about food more than anything else. They're about food. And part of the reason for that, part of that is tradition, but part of that is also they have a new head of, and I'm not sure the title here, but their head of food service for the entire Disney World or possibly Disney Resorts system seems to be really making a difference, really putting a focus on higher quality across the board, better selection across the board. He's making Disney no longer burger-centric and really bringing variety and quality and pricing and everything to the entire resort system, and it shows. And he's doing a great job, and I hope that the Disney company is recognizing the job that he's doing and what an effect this is having, because when so many things in Disney are not, in Disney resorts are not doing well, when the park is not performing as well as it has in the past as far as providing services to the customers, when guest services is only treading water, when the parks are aging, this is one aspect. The food aspect is actually improving, and this is something that was very good before. So I really hope that they recognize the job that he's doing, because he's doing an excellent job, and he deserves some credit for that. And I wish I knew his name. And Dominica Wood, and she's not with me this evening. She is at work. I'm recording this in the middle of the night, as I often do. She did very much enjoy doing the podcast and wishes she could be here, but tonight is her final night at the hotel. And that was not what we were expecting. She actually went into work this evening and discovered that she had been taken off the schedule for everything except for tonight. And so she's just done at the hotel. We thought this was going to go on for a month or more, that she was going to have to be working part-time at the hotel and full-time at Fujifilm E-Systems. But that's not the case. She is done as of 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, does not have to report back to the hotel ever again. And then she has class, and then she does paperwork in the afternoon tomorrow for her new job. And so that's it. It's great. She gets to move forward with everything. And she does not have to work at the hotel tomorrow, so she gets to have a very full evening to relax, a full night of sleep to get ready, and then she gets to go into work on Wednesday for her first day completely rested and knowing that she only has to work 4 shifts. There, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those are her shifts. And normal days, I believe her shift is something like 9 o'clock until. That can't be right. It must be 10 o'clock to. I'm not sure. It's evenings, and she will have to tell us. I know it does vary a little bit, and apparently I just don't know when it is. But she is very happy about that, and that's going to make our lives a whole lot easier. And obviously, our flight was fine. We got in. My father picked us up from the airport. We were very excited to see our puppy, and we are now home and relaxing. And that is pretty much the Sheep Guarding Llama podcast for the day. I didn't want to go into too much depth today. I didn't want to do a big Disney wrap-up. We had to cover the kind of the last day and kind of leave you with where things went. But I think we managed to do a pretty good job from the park. I apologize that we had such terrible internet access and that so many people weren't able to follow along, and that Audio Blogger has been down, and I believe it's still down, and we weren't able to keep you up there, because that I really think would have been really awesome, especially as I was getting better and better at remembering to do that. But I think with as many things as we were doing for the first time, I think it worked out really well. And I really look forward to being able to do this in the future for trips and stuff. And obviously, all of these channels are remaining active, and you're going to see videos and photos and stuff coming, not every day, but on a regular basis. And obviously the podcast, I'm doing my best at this point to keep it either daily or bi-daily, the minimum of 4 days a week, especially as we have moved up into slot 52 of the all-time top 100. And I believe we're in spot 36 or 38 for yesterday's daily popularity on Podomatic. So we are very excited. We are moving up the charts. We are dramatically ahead of the Jedi Council Speaks today. I believe we're 12 or 14 slots in front of them. So we're excited there. We're giving Bob a run for his money. Hopefully he will rise to the challenge. I did see that he's got a preview of the next show posted. I've not had a chance to listen to that yet. It's been a busy day, but I will listen to that soon. We'll see how he is doing and how he's preparing for his next show. A couple other notes. This week is going to be pretty much a lot of me playing catch-up throughout the week. I've got obviously a million things I've got to do because I've been out of town. Thursday is the big Microsoft show in Buffalo, and so a lot of us are going to be out there all day. That's a big event, so I will be gone all day on Thursday. And the big other thing is we have an ongoing issue. Those of you who've read SGL over the past month know that we've had an ongoing issue with Associated Healthcare, and that issue, while we were gone, actually escalated, and they have given us more fraudulent charges that they're trying to make us pay. And so that's my looming overhead right now. I do have paperwork showing that we don't owe them a penny, but basically they're going to, we believe, attempt to extort probably a few $1,000s from us, even though we're not really a customer of theirs and never have been. I should say from me, and I've never been. They are the company that I got my CPAP from, but according to my paperwork, that was all taken care of between them and the insurance company, and the product was mine before we went off of the health insurance. Then they waited 6 months and then suddenly sent me thousands of dollars of bills and told me I should have disputed it the moment that I got the first bill, even though I did. And then I disputed it the moment I got the second bill, and they've refused to return calls. The very last time I talked to them, they didn't return a call. Then I got more paperwork with new charges, and they won't send me any itemized bills. They just send me late notices for things they've never billed me for. I have no idea what the charges are even for at this point. I've talked to people on the phone, and they couldn't tell me what the charges were for. Some of them, they had things that they believed they were supposed to be charging for, but it is a big mess, and they are an incredibly awful company. They've hung up, they've put me on hold, said they were going to go talk to someone and get information, and just hung up. They, at the end of the day, told me they would check in with someone and call me back first thing in the morning, and they never did. I've left messages, and so it looks like I most likely have to get a lawyer involved, which is very unfortunate, because that's a lot of work and potentially a lot of money, but I would rather give my money to my lawyer than to this company. So it looks like that's probably the way we're gonna have to go. It's not much to talk about. It's not exciting. It's not interesting. But it's a major factor in our lives right now because it's a huge amount of money. And even worse than the money is that we actually feel we are being extorted. This is extortion. It is a crime. But how do you deal with it? What do we do? Because, you know, they're threatening, in theory, to turn over huge bills to a collection agency or to, you know, credit reporting. And though, you know, everyone knows how bad credit reporting agencies are these days, what do you do from there? You know, this is one of those, what is a consumer to do when threatened by an extorting corporation who has access to credit reporters? We're not sure what the best options are. We know there's lots of options, and we don't know which ones are good or bad, and we don't know what our paperwork really would do in court, but I feel pretty confident that they don't have a leg to stand on, but they're obviously going to try to bluff. So I am dealing with that mentally, and that's a bit stressful, but I'm confident, and that's fine, and the Lord is watching over us. I know that this isn't something that I need to worry about. It's just something that needs to be dealt with. So I am Scott Allen Miller, and I am signing off for our shortest SGL podcast in quite some time. And we will be back with you tomorrow. And with any luck, Dominica will be back on the show. Send in some emails, send in some audio comments, and let us know if you want her back on a regular basis. I am signing off. This has been a presentation of SGL Media.